Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let's be very practical for a moment. God expects mankind to work for a living. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, Genesis 3 and 19. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Friend, work is not a curse because man sinned. Work was given to man before sin entered the world. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it, Genesis 2:15. Now there are blessings in work, and there are rewards from work. Work is of a necessity of life. It is good for members of the human family to work. Now consider our youth. That's a period in life is beset with making so many decisions. They have to decide where they'll go to school, especially if they attend college. They decide who they'll marry, where they'll live. And, of course, the biggest and most important decision is what they will do about Jesus Christ. And they choose their friends, and they select an occupation whereby they work and earn their livelihood. Now, it's not easy for a young person to make all these decisions, but they are thrust upon them nonetheless. Now, some of these decisions may prove to be the wrong ones, and some are of such nature they can be changed, however, without too much damage. Others they cannot change, because they have eternal consequences connected with them. But these are decisions with which they have to live. Now, our lesson deals with the choosing of an occupation, a vocation, the machinery for making a living. It's not possible for anyone else to tell another just exactly what they ought to do and ought not to do in this matter. Each has different talents and should develop them and learn them and use them the very best of their ability. But there are some few basic principles that ought to be considered when one selects his occupation, because a person's occupation will affect his life, his attitude, his associates. Ultimately, it can have an effect on his eternal destiny. Now, we would like to encourage young men to honestly consider being a preacher of the gospel. Through the years, one's ideas may change regarding what he has done with his own life, but I am sure that I would never have been content to have tried to preach except to preach the gospel. I don't think that everybody needs to be what we call a full-time preacher. Even though there are advantages in that, there are some disadvantages as well. There is something all must work out for ourselves, considering our own so-called talents and circumstances. Nonetheless, I would persuade that young men ought to train themselves to some extent to be able to publicly preach the word, even if he earns the bulk of his livelihood some other way. Young men early in life ought to resolve that they will learn how to deliver discourses in the truth before other people. He never knows what opportunities and duties that may open before him in life when he will be sorely needed for just such a work. And the harvest is great and the laborers are few. Preaching is not, of course, a lucrative work with financial gain. Those who approach the work of preachers because of finances are likely in for a big disappointment. God will provide, but you can't always count on others. Experience has shown me, and I observe these so-called high-salary preachers, they become little more than program promoters and yes-men to other people, seeking popularity even above the truth, and compromise to maintain their gain. Now, there may be some exceptions to that. It just hasn't been my experience to know them. But preaching offers other opportunities. It is true that you often are praised, sometimes you are damned, sometimes both at the same time. But there are rewards that money can't buy. What is it worth to influence a soul to be saved? How many dollars can you take to cause someone to be able to go to heaven? It is true, there's no amount of money that can compensate for the bruises and the tears that might come your way. The constant insecurity and the badgering will something with which you have to live each day. But what a satisfaction to know that you're involved in the greatest work on earth, telling the gospel of Christ. You can do this without depending upon others for your support, and you can work in one job and preach also. But young men ought to be encouraged to train themselves with ability and knowledge to preach the gospel. They may well earn their livelihood some other way, but they ought to be able to preach and teach the word of God. And as for our young ladies, you know, I feel sorry for them in the last few decades with such a mad rush in the world against the most honorable and noble task a woman can fill, and I refer to being a homemaker, rearing children, taking care of her husband, keeping the home. All the glamour girls and the career types seem to have it made, some people think. But no honest person can deny that women leaving the number one God-given task, going into the marketplaces, competing in this materialistic rush, has caused a deadly rise in the destruction of the home, of marriage, of stability, and the security of children. A lot of people don't like to hear that, but it's still the truth. All this has now become a plague upon our nation. Leaving the home for lesser pursuits, dear people, has been the root of many, and it's been frustrated, ill-kept, neglected children. As a result, they turn delinquent because the home is not governed as it ought to be. It has hurt the economy. It's hurt the availability of jobs for men to support their families. I know that many will think this is so old-fashioned and some say terribly chauvinistic. But the hell and havoc that has been caused by the push of women from their homemaking careers has proven beyond question that God's way is best, and society is composed of too many fools who think that women are nothing else but female men. The old saying that says the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, that's still true. That many hands have forsaken the cradle has been one of the major causes of the sad plight of much of the world. There are no two occupations, friend, available to the human family than can surpass the occupation and the glory of preaching the gospel and that of making a home where Christ reigns supreme. Now, there are many other occupations one can have in which he can bring glory to God and fulfill his obligations in life. Whatever honorable task for which one trains, he ought to try to do his very best to succeed in that, being as good at that work as he can possibly be. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." It's unfortunate that many measure success only in terms of financial gain. That may be one measure, especially in some fields. But one can have great financial success, friend, and be a failure in the things that are really more important. One can be as poor as Job's turkey and be a success. You can be the man of the year and be a failure. You can be a ditch digger or a garbage man or a surgeon or a financier and be a success or a failure. It depends upon what you do with your job. When you're pondering your occupation, there are some serious matters that ought to be considered. One measure you dare not omit is the influence of your eternity. Real success must be measured in terms of the effect your vocation will have on your soul. Whatever secular task you undertake will eventually pass from this scene, and that which lasts beyond this life, that's what really counts. You may have what we call an excellent job, big money, and much prestige and glamour, but friend, if you fail to serve God, you've missed it. Others may respect you. They may stand in awe of you, the things that you accomplish, even after your life is over, but you have not lived for God, you have really messed up. You can live for Christ and enjoy financial success in many occupations. On the other hand, you may work hard, gain very little, have no notoriety, pass from this life almost unnoticed, but if you lived your life in favor with God, you are the most of successful persons. You will have eternal life in heaven. One of the two kinds of lives open to you, which we really believe is the best, that which is for God or that which is for self. Friend, what I am saying to you is, whatever occupation you choose, first and foremost, always be a Christian. Now, there was an elder with whom I once worked, and he was greatly respected because of the kind of man that he seemed to be. I heard him tell a man one time when asked what was his occupation, he said, "I work for God. I'm an accountant at the U.S. Rubber Company to pay my bills." Now, he was not boasting. He was simply expressing his view toward his job. I suggest he had the right view, and we would do well to have the same attitude. I have found it neither best nor practical to simply uphold various occupations before young people before they have learned some basic lessons. You know, anyone can name over a host of jobs that are attractive, that might pay well, offer rewards in many ways. Specific job descriptions, they ultimately come into play, but this is not our purpose. What we want people to do is to choose a work that renders some service and benefit to mankind. Didn't Jesus teach that service is the way to greatness? Service is characteristic of the Christian. Do not let your occupations be purely selfish in nature. Think what you can do for others. Let not fame and fortune be your motive, but service to other people. As stated earlier, make up your mind to go at your job to do your very best. As Paul told the Colossian brethren, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." Now, you may never be the very best in your field, but you can be the best that you can be. Don't worry if somebody else can do better. Be glad for their success and their ability, but do just what you can do as best you can. That's what the Lord expects. Don't take your job that interferes with being a faithful Christian. Don't take a job that runs against your conscience because it's sinful. Keep the worship services in mind. There are some fields of endeavor that Christians cannot, of course, pursue and cannot promote. He can't encourage sinful things. He can't engage in the work of the devil. But keep your occupation in perspective. Never let it become first with you, not before your family, the church, or your health. It is a necessity, to be sure. But put your trust in the Lord's providence. After all, hasn't he told you, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you"? Don't neglect the most important, for those things are of lesser importance. Don't neglect that which is eternal and put your emphasis only on the things that are temporal. Don't neglect your example to be a child of God in order to gain the plaudits of this world. Remember, when you have a job, you're privileged to earn. It's a blessing from God, and your earnings compose a part of your stewardship. Remember God with whatever comes in your possession and within your control. Actually, everything belongs to God, and you don't dare withhold from him what belongs to him. Be careful about the occupation that you choose. Always choose to put God first, whatever job you undertake. That's the message of the Bible, and that's what Christians are to follow. Well, we're glad that you're listening today. Won't you be with us again at the same time tomorrow? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.